It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
Stephon Diggs, no longer a Buffalo Bill. Jarring, but not shocking.
Look, at the end of the day, this is Josh Allen's offense. You're going to put together the offense around the guys that you got. You know, there'll be some elements of things that I believe in. It's more of like, tell me who we have on our football team and the guys and what they can do well. We're going to do that.
It's a fun and wonderful thing when you got a bunch of guys that don't care about the stats. They don't care about the touchdowns. And again, I think throughout practice, we've just had this mindset of like, hey, let's just do things the right way and find ways to win football games. That's what we're doing right now.
Allen back to pass, looking right, now over the middle, complete to Shakir. Races away from the defender, 10, 5, spins into the end zone for the touchdown. Pressure coming, fires down the right side, looking for Coleman. He's got it, and he's into the end zone. The rookie with his first touchdown as a pro. Back to pass, Allen wide open to Cook in the left flat, racing to the end zone. Is he in? Yes, he is. The Cook has found the kitchen.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
And of course, the Sabres play today.
The first day in ending the drought. Come on.
That's right.
Khalil Shakir. Wait to see this. I've got a little Twitter exercise. Maybe others will want to join in.
Khalil Shakir maybe won't play, but maybe. I mean, I'm saying that because he missed practice again. But
for a second day in a row?
Yeah. But what are you going
to
say?
I'm going to post the picture of the last game I went to in a Sabres playoff season.
Ooh. Okay.
Me and my brothers versus now. Just look at the difference. Crazy. All right, it's going to start. The end starts today.
The end starts hopefully today.
The end of the drought. Or maybe just the end. Maybe just the end.
Let's start ending it.
Let's start.
Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Happy Football Friday. Of course, lots of football today. Some Sabres mixed in. Their season opener is today. We'll talk with Paul Hamilton at 7:30. And the second Lindy Ruff era begins, which is wild. He was the last coach to take him to the playoffs.
Yes, he was.
So I think it makes total sense.
Who was their last coach not named Lindy Ruff? It was Ted Nolan, right?
Yeah.
Take him to the playoffs in 1997.
I was going to say, were you born yet?
Yeah, it was two.
Okay, fair enough.
Barely. I was barely born, yeah.
What a great time of year we've got. I mean, baseball, hockey now, football. That game last night.
College football.
That game last night. Man, if you're... It was, you know what it was great for? It might have been the best game for fantasy football of the year. A standalone game where there's 500 yards passing on one side. So if you're a fantasy player, you know, we talked up Darnell Mooney, who had a huge game. Drake London looked like a number one receiver. Kyle Pitts, back from the dead. Mike Evans, a couple touchdowns. Future Hall of Famer there. Baker Mayfield, pretty sharp in this game for the most part.
I mean, there's not a single player you would have been like that upset. If you were desperate and started Ray McLeod, he had 6 catches for 66 yards.
Yeah.
Like, all right, fine. Not bad.
It wasn't quite...
Godwin, I guess, only got like 11 points.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
He was good, 64 yards.
It wasn't quite like a 10 receivers on each team caught a pass, but it was 6 receivers all caught 60 yards or more for the Falcons. I mean, it was just...
Right.
It was a wild game. And the Falcons, you know, Cousins, he's getting better every week. They even showed how you use your back foot when throwing and how much Cousins was not planting and driving with it the way that maybe he should and how that's still coming along for him as his Achilles gets better. But 500 yards. These two teams do not play defense, Atlanta and New Orleans.
No.
There's no pass rush. Everybody had all the time in the world. It was a fun game. It's a good game to watch if you did watch it.
Yeah, there were 883 yards of total offense in this game.
Lots of plays.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, a lot of plays. You got overtime. You got late drama too. Some of these primetime games, I mean, the Bills have been involved in two of them. You've had games that are filled with scoring, but it's by one team, so the game is like over by halftime. And this was right in it all the way through, and the Falcons, like, all right, you got scoring and you got late drama.
Yeah.
Where they're sprinting to the line of scrimmage to get a spike down. They tried to do a play and then spike it with 12 seconds, and it took them exactly 11 seconds. And they got it with 1 second, the spike.
Perfect.
Which, if you're the Bucks, don't you just... Don't you just kind of pull him forward? Drake London? You got to kill like 2 seconds to end the game. Don't let him go down.
Don't let him go down. Hold him up.
Hold him up. Let him go forward. Let him go forward. Forward progress.
Make them blow the whistle. Make them
make them blow
what
the
I
whistle?
Mean is like hold them up until they blow the whistle.
Oh, I see.
Like,
yeah.
Make them make the ruling that the play is over because that 1 second probably ticks off the clock.
Right. And they end up losing the game.
Yeah. So, good for the Falcons.
Great game.
Great game. If the Bills-Texans game looks like that, that's going to be some stress. And And everybody will eat. There were a lot of receivers in that game that ate. Again, not like 10 per side. But, man, Ray McLeod, he's back. Mooney. Can I make the Mooney point again?
Darnell Mooney.
I want to make the Darnell Mooney point again.
16 targets last night.
Yes. For how much?
For 9 catches, 105 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
Darnell Mooney. That's what I need Curtis Samuel to be on this team. Right? Yeah. Why can't Curtis Samuel be that? Earlier in his career, by the way, welcome to Football Friday. Let's talk Bills-Texans. And we're going to get to the Sabres, I promise. It's opening day for them. That's exciting. But Mooney signed with the Falcons this year, 3 years. He signed for more money. And he is a big part of their offense. He's as big a part of their offense almost as Drake London, who is their number one. They have Kyle Pitts, who caught 7 last night. He's back. Yeah. Bijan, of course, is a big... Like, they've got a lot of skill players, and they added Darnell Mooney, who I think takes them to another level by being so good on that other side from London. He's fast. He can catch. He's decent after the catch, but he's about stretching the field a little bit. That's what Mooney can do for them. And Curtis Samuel, like, he is the mystery here for Bills fans that want to see the full Brady offense, that want to see, do we really have receivers good enough to make this thing work? You know, Coleman's got to grow. Okay, Shakir and Kincaid, everybody's pretty happy with what they do. And then it comes down to Curtis Samuel. Like, what do they have here? If they got a guy who's going to average, you know, 30 yards a game, and by the way, that would be an uptick from what he's done so far, right? So, like, a guy that's going to be a part of the offense, it's time to happen. Like, let's go. Let's see Curtis Samuel in a role where he can get open down the field, not just screen plays, not just taking shotgun snaps.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I hoped they signed him for, was the role that Darnell Mooney is playing in Atlanta. Understanding it's a different offense, understanding that route tree might be different, but that's what you get from the middle-class receiver you sign in free agency, or at least that's what it should be.
Right. Mooney is smooth, and he is so good on the outside, though. Like, his speed is there. But, right, like, he's someone that doesn't even have the track record quite the same as Samuel. Like, it's a little lower, like, by season. It's also fewer seasons for him. Like, this was his first big contract. This was Samuel's second contract after the rookie deal. But he had a 1,000-yard season. It's not like he did nothing. Mooney had a 1,000-yard season in
with
Chicago.
With the Bears.
With the Bears, yeah, which is pretty impressive.
It's kind of like a 3,000-yard season.
Yeah, and Samuel had a 1,000-yard total season, and he had like a 980-yard receiving season. So, you know, their top seasons are close enough, and then the middle is a little bit more in Samuel's direction. But, yeah, why is it that guy on that offense, they bring him in, and it's the same argument to me in free agency for them. It is, oh, the Falcons are signing Darnell Mooney. Well, let's see if he can do something with a good quarterback, right? Because he had Justin Fields, who wouldn't really throw the ball. And before that, did he have Trubisky for a year? Who would have been the quarterback?
That's probably right.
Okay, so, like, never really had much to write home about a quarterback. Kirk Cousins, big upgrade. Let's see what he can do. And with Kirk Cousins, he looks awesome. He looks great. And Samuel, I would have made the same argument a million times. The player that threw him the most touchdown passes in his career is Kyle Allen. Old Cam Newton, Teddy Bridgewater. Like, the quarterbacks that Curtis Samuel had played with are probably even worse than what Mooney had dealt with. So it would have been the same argument for me of, let's see what this guy looks like when he is an actual good quarterback. And I don't even know if I know the answer to that question, because I still feel like the Bills are not really even using him that much.
Mooney's on pace for an 81-catch, 1,100-yard season, which...
Yeah,
before the year, how far off of that is what we thought maybe Curtis Samuel should be pegged for in this offense, right? 1,100? Maybe that's on the high side because everybody's going to eat. But 81 catches is not that many. It's 5 a game.
Right.
Curtis Samuel, let's go. Let's see it. Especially if teams are keying in on Kincaid, and this week especially if Khalil Shakir is limited.
I think if Shakir is limited or doesn't play, I don't know what. I think Samuel is your slot receiver, right? He's doing every little thing that Shakir is doing. He is. I thought he was the guy, the number one guy for this, but so far it's been Shakir. Who's the guy that's getting these screen passes, these out routes at the line of scrimmage that Shakir's getting? And then, hey, can you go do a little bit after that?
Yeah, sometimes that's Kincaid, by the way, getting those too.
Sometimes it is Kincaid. But, like, it's that should how is that not Samuel? They're gonna call up KJ Hamler from the practice squad and give him those snaps. Instead, they're gonna put Cook out there. Like, you've got a guy. You've got a guy. And I do want to see him doing more too. I was jealous watching Mooney just line up on the outside and threaten corners with his speed, and then he can turn on the brakes and now he's open on a comeback route. Or now, because of his speed and his route running, now he's open on a post. And it felt like every single route last night he won on. And Samuel, like, you pull up his Matt Harmon reception perception profile and look at all of his routes. He's got green. This great or is good, right? Yellow is average and red is bad.
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay, of all his routes, he has one route in the red, and that's the post route. That's it. Like, yeah. One route. The straight ahead, nine route, good. Corner route, deep, great. Dig route, great. Like, everything, and this is last season for him, Curtis yeah. Samuel. Like, he's not just supposed to be gadget guy. He's yeah. supposed to be, I do everything.
I don't know how exactly similar they are, but that's not really the point. What we're talking about is pecking order in an offense with an awesome quarterback. I mean, and of course, we think Josh Allen's better than Kirk Cousins, but Cousins, I mean, he's
going
to be...
Last night, Cousins was amazing,
yes,
so...
But yeah. Cousins is a distributor. Mooney's numbers this year, in game one, he had one catch. Since then, yards, 88, 66, 56, 105.
Mm-hmm. Like, he's a part of their offense.
Big
There's
time.
No arguing that he isn't.
Big time. He's yeah. a bigger part of their offense than Kyle Pitts. And Samuel... Like, what's his high number for receiving yards for the year? Is it 20? Where did he catch a pass, you know? Like, so
what's his biggest play? Can you even think of it?
It had to be one of the screens, or there's a play over the middle.
There was a play over the... He got a target in the end zone against Arizona, didn't he?
That's right. He did.
Like a deep... wheel. I think he was in the backfield, maybe, and like wheel route against a linebacker.
Yes, yes. Yeah. He got a throw to the end zone and a little bit of a jump ball. Wasn't the best throw. He wasn't really open. It was a play where, if you do go back and watch it, I think I might have said something to friends in that moment. That's the difference between an $8 million receiver and a $30 million receiver. Like, Mike Evans is catching that. I mean, yeah. It's not Curtis Samuel's game. In fact, Keon Coleman might have caught that ball, gone up and high-pointed it. But whatever. Like, Samuel can be a part of this offense, and they're talking about it. There's also the connection with Joe Brady, right? Like, they're trying to find ways to get him the ball. There was a tweet earlier this week. I saw Warren Sharp pointing out that the Bills shouldn't do this because Samuel is pretty low on the Bills' depth chart of how good it is when you throw it to him. But it is a very small sample size, right? Like, let's see how you can involve him, how he can be a part of this team in this offense. So, who do you want more of? We'll start there. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. For Bills Texans, sure, everybody eats. Who needs a little more on their plate? Who needs to have the server come over and, you know what, looks like you're running a little low there. Give a little more on the plate. Who is it for you? I think, is it Samuel for both of us? I mean, you could make a case for a lot of people, but
I would make a case for many, but for me, my absolute number one for this is Curtis Samuel. Has to be. Has to be. I just, the money investment too, like, it's that they planned on using him. It's the confusion of what's the thought here? You paid him a 3-year deal. He's here. That's another part of it, is he's a part of the offense for multiple seasons, I think, unless they're going to eat dead money next year and make it a 1-year experiment. I don't know why. Again, like, what needs to be mentioned here is there is a possibility to me that he's limited in what they're asking him to do because of turf toe that he sustained in the preseason. That happens, right? In football all the time. Like, where a guy's dealing with something and he's not on the injury report even. And it's just, you know, it's bothering him. It's not quite holding him out from doing work, but maybe it's holding them out from lining him up at the Z position that Diggs played last year, and like, hey, can you just go run these routes down the field? Maybe that's the problem. I have to believe it is part of the problem. It is too weird to me that the coordinator is using him completely differently than he did last time. In Carolina. When I mean last time, I mean in Carolina.
It used to be down the field.
It was it's half. His average depth of target is half what it was last time. His snap count is a third. 30% snap count. He's fit. When you're fifth on the... Isn't that where the injury has to be a part of it? When you're fifth on the depth chart,
you're
in
managing
snaps,
an injury. Yeah,
you have to be. But I don't know. He didn't even play more when Coleman was sitting out for a quarter. Who MVS was the guy that was on the field more.
Yeah.
So maybe that's too a part of what they're asking from their receivers. Like, I'm not answering Marquez Valdes-Scantling for this question. I'm not answering Matt Collins.
Well, I put up a Twitter poll, and your four options are Samuel, Coleman, Shakir, or Kincaid. Someone will say James Cook, I'm sure. Someone might say Dawson Knox, maybe. They only give me four options, so I already apologize in advance. I can only pick four.
I think it's the right four.
Everybody eats, but which Bills target would you like to see get a little more on their plate? Sorry, only four options. Samuel, Coleman, Shakir, or Kincaid.
But they are MVS and Hollins. Are they also running like the clear out routes stuff? And are they hoping that those two are actually opening up things in a way for
the
others?
And you know,
I don't know.
Listen, I could listen to a little more for MVS. I could listen to it because right now he gets nothing. And maybe you want, I don't know, a deep shot a game. You want some shots down the field. They did take one earlier this season and they missed on it. But that's, you know, it's a sign that. That's there. It's one of the reasons he's on the team. You run clear outs until every once in a while Josh Allen decides to throw to clear out routes, which he does do, right? Mm-hmm. He did that with Gabe Davis. He'd throw to Gabe. We're like, wait a minute, that's a clear out route. And he'd throw to Gabe anyway. So, you know, Allen, when he decides to take his shots, they're there sometimes. So I'm not putting MVS in the poll, but if you want to make that case, I think you could make a case that I'd like to, if you can hit one or two of those, maybe teams would be a little more threatened by what your passing game could do over the top.
Yeah. That is just MVS though, right? Like, his last seven games in Kansas City, he had seven catches. And he was on the field all the time there.
Yeah.
More than he was here, I think. So, like, I just think that is kind of what he is at this point, which is why he's not, to me, a major difference maker in what they do. He'll probably have... This is the other thing, though. Like, and they were close on that one play against Arizona, and maybe there was another play where they were close. He's the type of player where there will be a game where he just has one catch for 70 yards and a touchdown. That's been him in fantasy his entire career, even when he was in Green Bay. He'll be a guy that gets you zero catches, and then the next week he's going to be 2 for 120 and two scores. So that'd be someone for like all 22 breakdown to see, like, is he getting close? Is he almost by the corner here? Is he almost between the safeties here? And Allen, this is just a different play. Like, I don't know that whether or not MVS is even getting close on these downfield shots, which is, I think, the reason he's here. That's his thing. He's just going to run down the field and hopefully be open.
Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. We'll check in, of course, with Sal. We'll talk with Paul Hamilton to preview the Sabre season. By the way, former Sabre Dwayne Rollison joining the Niagara coaching staff.
All right.
Dwayne Rollison, yeah. Chris Brown, Bills play-by-play man. Chris Brown at 8:30. Texans play-by-play man, voice of the Texans. Mark Vandermeer coming up at 9 o'clock as we get ready for Bills-Texans. One thing about this Bills-Texans matchup, have you noticed how the national media is really... This is... What's the example here? You know, there's the very public breakup of the Bills and Diggs, and right now the national NFL world is everybody in the cafeteria as the two of them are about to sit down at the same table. Like, oh, check this out. Look at this. What's going to happen?
Uh-huh.
Like, there's a big vibe of that, which is surprising that it's not a primetime game. It's almost like I wonder if there's a little regret that they didn't make this at least a 4 o'clock game.
Mm.
It's just a 1 o'clock on a Sunday, and that's fine. It's the biggest game of the Sunday slate at 1 o'clock.
Do we have the 506 map out yet?
We do.
I'm assuming that this game will be the biggest region of the country.
Well, by geography, yes. The entire West and Mississippi River Delta pretty much is going to get this, and maybe not. It actually kind of separates on the Mississippi. So the Northeast gets it, Tampa and Miami get it, and from the Mississippi West get it. But Baltimore and Cincinnati play. Yeah. And that game is going to a lot of the Mid-Atlantic. Atlanta, Charlotte, okay. D.C., Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Detroit, Minnesota, Green Bay. They're all getting Baltimore, Cincinnati.
Well, let's see. How much would they regret it? The 425 games are...
Green Bay and the Rams.
Green Bay and the Rams.
Which, all right, that's fine. I mean...
It's fine.
Green Bay's a good watch. The Rams are... It's fine.
Yep. Seahawks Giants is also at 425. The Sunday night game is Cowboys Steelers. Those are big brands.
Yep.
And they both have
no regrets there.
Good enough records. And then Chiefs Saints on Monday night.
Nance and Romo are on Green Bay and the Rams. And Okay. Where's Brady? Brady's on Arizona San Francisco.
All right.
There's some good games this week. It's not bad.
Bills Texans is better than Packers Rams though.
I think yes.
Yeah, from trying to be an unbiased perspective, I think Bills Texans is a better game. If I'm a casual observer, I would rather watch that.
You also have Miami New England if you want to watch that one.
Oh, yikes!
On the map,
what is the over under in that game? That is should 29.
That should be a dot surrounding the two stadiums on the 506 Sports map. 803-0550. Josh Allen named the AFC Offensive Player of the Month for just the second time, which is kind of surprising. Maybe it's not the second time. First time since 2020 that he's gotten that honor. I thought I saw. AFC Offensive Player of the Month. We'll get to your calls. We'll chat about it. Are you picking the Bills to win? What do you think? Time to bounce back? I think McDermott's got a great opportunity here to reinvigorate everyone's faith in the defense.
It's his third, by the way. Third. He won it in September and December of 2020. Same season.
Gotcha. A
couple of months apart.
They were good then.
His numbers were incredible. But there it is. The second thing mentioned, though, is touchdown-interception ratio. 7 touchdowns, no picks.
Will we see his first pick this week? Should we have a Josh Allen pick pool?
Josh Allen pick pool?
He's not going to go the whole year.
No. That would be hilarious, though, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
Would he win MVP just for that? Doesn't matter what the record is. They win the division at 9-8. He throws 0 picks. Is he the MVP?
Wow, that's a tough one. Like, how many touchdowns? 18?
Yeah, 20. 20. 20 touchdowns, 0 picks. Is he the MVP? I think he's the MVP.
I think he might be.
I don't know. There's no season he throws 0 picks where he's not the MVP.
And doesn't Brady get a job right away because he found a way to not turn the ball over with Josh Allen?
He can have any job he wants.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any team will fire their coach for him.
We'll continue Davante Adams' trade watch. We'll talk about, which target in this offense you want to see a little more from. It is Football Friday. Jeremy and Joe with you. You can give us a call. Chat with us, chat with Sal, Chris Brown, Mark Vandermeer, bunch coming up here, and of course, a Sabres season preview as they start today at 1 o'clock against the New Jersey Devils, Lindy Ruff revenge game. Football Friday on WGR.
Mooney moving. That's fired, that's caught, and that is Hodge! And Hodge is going to take it to the end zone. A most improbable win for the Atlanta Falcons.
They won the coin toss. Touchdown ends games in regulation if you win the coin toss.
Mm-hmm.
If only Atlanta had won the coin toss in the Super Bowl they lost, the 28-3 game. Oh, some of you forgot that, huh? They blew a 28-3 lead and then lost the coin toss. They win a coin toss, they might have won.
If they had won the coin toss and won, though, then the coin toss would have been eliminated in all respect the next day.
It was pretty soon after, was it not? It was Josh Allen, which is, right, that's
it. It was a couple years later.
It was Allen Mahomes that did it. That's what eliminated the sudden death touchdown ends it.
But if Brady put together a 28-3 comeback, and then they denied him a chance to get the ball in overtime, the next day it would have been eliminated.
That's right. It should have happened. I mean, it should have happened before Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning lost a playoff game without touching the ball, losing a coin toss and didn't touch the ball.
How did we just get onto that?
Because Atlanta won the coin toss last night.
Atlanta,
and in the regular season, that's still the rule. In the postseason, that is not the rule.
Yep. I feel like the team that comes back, when it doesn't happen to them, this doesn't come up as much, just in general. Like, won't it not come up as much today because Atlanta was the team that tied it at the end? Versus if they had tied it at the end and then did not get a chance to get the ball in overtime, who's more mad?
Interesting.
Because Tampa's could be more mad today, like, oh, we blew the lead. Mayfield had Evans open down the field for a touchdown, up 6, and he decided to take the short pass because he wanted to run clock. Or we wanted to get them to use their final timeout, or whatever that was.
Do you remember a team that came all the way back and lost the coin toss and lost?
The Bills.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Wait,
The Chiefs, I mean.
The Chiefs against the Patriots in the AFC Championship game at Arrowhead. They came all the way back and tied it, lost the coin toss, lost the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Bills also lost the coin toss to Kansas City.
Coin tosses.
Why is it always doing coin tosses?
How come it always helps the bad guys? You know? Even when we weren't mad at the Chiefs, it was still the bad guys.
Are the Falcons the bad guys, though? Not last night.
No. The initial point is 28-3. It helped the bad guys. It was the coin toss.
Right. Yeah.
So many coin toss aided championships.
How do we feel about getting a cover, by the way, on Falcons -1.5 when the cover comes in overtime?
I mean, I'd feel great about it if you had it.
I know. Shouldn't that not be how it works? Like, soccer is this way, right? Like, a lot of times it's the line, but it's at conclusion of regulation.
There's a 90-minute result.
There's a 90-minute result. Shouldn't football kind of be that way?
60-minute result?
You know, if you pick Tampa +1.5, you should feel like you kind of did, you know, through four quarter. It's a four-quarter game. It's tied. I feel like, you know, it's tough.
803-0550 is our phone number, 1-888-550-2550. Give us a call. There's a Twitter poll up. You can vote, and we got some hockey, some football today as well.
I got some hockey trivia for you a little bit later on.
Okay. It's Football Friday. It's brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, and by Crosby's Pizza. Start your game day the Crosby's way. The Twitter poll is, everybody eats, but which Bills target would you like to see a little more on their plate? Curtis Samuel, Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir, or Dalton Kincaid? Kincaid is currently leading.
Really?
Yes. He's not really been featured, right?
No, he hasn't. By no stretch of the imagination.
He's getting attention, but he's not really been featured. We'll see if there's a game that, you know, he breaks out, gets into the end zone one or two times. Maybe this is the game that Houston doesn't have any answers for him.
He still hasn't, even in his rookie year. Is there a game? Does he have a game?
The Kincaid
game?
Is
there a Kincaid game that he's taken over? One. Even one. He put up numbers, and there was like some consistency there at the end, especially. But what's the game where he just looked unstoppable? What's the game where he took over, made a giant impact for you in 1 week?
It might be tough for any player not named Josh Allen to stick in our memory like that, right? Because Kincaid might have had a game where he took over, but Allen, you know, jumped over two dudes, and that's the thing we remember.
Uh-huh. I mean, his high
for yards.
His high for yards.
It's like what? Like 110?
It's 87.
87.
87. He's not cracked 90 yards in a game yet in his career. He got 10 catches for 81 against the Bengals in a loss last year, but you wouldn't, I don't think, call that. That's, you know, less than 8 yards, or it's 8 yards a target in that game. The New England game late last year, the Miami game to win a division, he goes 7 for 84.
This is where I'm going to ask you, how many tight ends have picked up a 100-yard game since Dalton Kincaid's been drafted, and you can...
I mean, it's got to be...
Not that it's necessarily...
A good number, I think.
Well, it's not this year. This year, no one's doing it. No tight ends. Tight end production is way down this year.
But even like that game Isaiah Likely had in week one, like Kincaid doesn't have that game.
No, that's right.
So, one of those to kind of blast off into him being a featured number one option.
Yeah.
Because Is it right to think still that him being their number one target is still their best version of offense currently?
I don't know about that. I don't know. Is that their best offense? Kincaid being their number one option, is that their best offense? I don't think so.
Then it's Shakir.
It might be Shakir, or the best version of what their offense can be. Can I dream of one where it's Coleman or Samuel?
Sure.
I mean, isn't the best version of your offense one where the bigger chunk play guy is more unstoppable than the underneath? I mean, they're both important. But if your best player is a possession tight end, which I know, like, Kincaid's supposed to be more of a vertical guy that could do a lot of different things, but we
had a caller yesterday who made a good point. Like, we're 20 games in. Maybe that's just not coming.
Yeah.
Maybe he is, you're going to hate this one, but maybe he's Zach Ertz.
No, he's not Zach Ertz. Because he has yak ability, and Zach Ertz has none.
Okay, so that's the one difference.
Zach Ertz was a volume tight end.
But he's not running these routes down the field. He's not catching the ball up the seam. Kyle Pitts caught one of these last night, actually.
Yeah.
His first catch of the game was like, just run up the seam and catch it for 30 yards. And that dude's not involved in that offense at all week to week.
I remember that catch from Pitts because I've watched a lot of Pitts, fantasy. Did you think he was the fastest he's ever looked on that catch?
On that one?
Pitts
caught it. He had some open field.
He turned upfield, and it was like, that's the fast tight end that they drafted.
Right.
So maybe a little bit of a boost for Kyle Pitts.
He heard you yesterday say that he's not running hard.
You said his career might be over.
Did I say that?
You said he might
in Atlanta.
You said he might just not be good.
He might just not be good. There have been 2,100-yard games by tight ends since Kincaid entered the NFL.
All right.
Who are some of the names on here?
Laporta, Kelsey.
Laporta did it once. Who's done it the most? Goddard's got a couple. David Njoku's got a couple. Kittle actually has the most with three. Him and Kelsey have three. Hockenson, Freiermuth, Cole Kmet, Isaiah Likely, Trey McBride twice, Dalton Schultz. Jonnu Smith has a 100-yard game in here. Like, it's not common.
Yeah.
But it's not unheard of. The top tight ends in the league all, like, McBride multiple, Kittle multiple, Kelsey multiple. If you want to throw Goddard in there, I guess. Like, the top guys are getting them.
Well, the first segment was about Samuel, and this one's about why it could also be Kincaid, right? That, especially with the absence of Diggs, didn't we all think who's going to get all the targets? I mean, you had Diggs and Davis leave. It was going to be 200 targets. Where are those going? We thought a lot of those would go to Kincaid. So he's going to get opportunity. Other players, Coleman, MVS, Curtis Samuel, will have to be good enough to open things up for him, for Kincaid a little more. 803-0550. The news on the defense continues to trend pretty well, right? Taron Johnson, Terrell Bernard, all right, getting closer to returns for those guys. So that's good news as well. We'll talk with Sal at 7, Paul at 7:30, Chris Brown, 8:30. Plenty to get to on a football Friday. So if you want to join us, please do. Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550, our phone number. Congratulations to Howard and the Mets.
Holy cow. I can't wait to talk to him to see what was he had to be watching live, right? He would have been watching live. Go ahead, run in the ninth inning. How stressed.
In a winner-take-all playoff game.
I mean, to save your season and to advance, right? Not even just like just to make it through. Your season's over if that inning doesn't go well and they have a three-run ninth inning.
There was cell phone video of the watch party at Citi Field in New York.
Okay.
There had to be 10,000 people at Citi Field watching this game on the Jumbotron.
Yeah.
And when Pete Alonso hit that home run, that place went nuts.
It was
really, really cool to watch.
Yeah.
So good for the Mets.
You know? Even just watching it without the sound, it looks like it's just a hysteria.
It's so cool. We got to talk about this Connor McDavid video, too. The NHL season starts, not for everybody, for the Sabres. But we're getting closer to the next version of a behind-the-scenes show. Like Hard Knocks or 24/7.
This is better than Hard Knocks, by the way.
If
we're getting this in the show, it's better than Hard Knocks.
It's way better.
Yeah.
When I told Joe about it and Josh when I came in, I said, have you seen the McDavid video? It's not the one after Game 7 where he's just sitting quietly and you feel the pain of the Oilers locker room.
Because that's part of it, too. There's a video in that show where McDavid is sitting in the locker room after they lose Game 7. You hear the PA, and he would have heard it. You hear the PA and the announcer background announce him as the Conn Smythe winner. And he is just almost maybe made more mad by it.
Yeah.
Like it's toying with his emotions.
They just lost the cup. This video is from during the series after a loss. And
yeah,
I think it's like one of the most important, I'm going to be dramatic here, important sports videos you could possibly see in today's media landscape covering the league, any league. I'll explain why as we go along. So join us if you'd like. It's Football Friday on WGR.
It starts by being more physical and making sure we're playing better at the point of attack. And that mindset has to be there for us. And then we go into our base run fundamentals, right? Because to your point, Mixon is a heck of a football player. And you can certainly see it when he's been healthy this year. And so, you know, we'll go out, we'll continue to hone in our fundamentals that are necessary to be better against the run.
Sean McDermott will call that Improving the Game Plan, brought to you by Bath Fitter. Improve your bath in one day with Bath Fitter. It just fits. Different game plan, right? Not Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, who, by the way, Jamar Chase said an interesting quote. Cincinnati plays Baltimore this week. Chase was asked about those two. He doesn't have to play against those two, but he was asked about Henry and Jackson and basically said that's like cheating in Madden. If you do that in Madden, you just put Derrick Henry with Lamar Jackson, people are like, you can't do that. That's cheating, which is kind of funny. So the Bills don't have to play those two. Instead, it's C.J. Stroud, who is not really a mobile threat in a serious way. And Joe Mixon, not likely to play in this game, I think.
Or Dameon Pierce.
Yeah.
So yeah, like lucky for them. Like I don't think they might. They've been playing Cam Akers.
Cam Akers
at running back. Like I'm not worried about it at all.
I'm not too worried about Cam Akers either. So the passing game. It'll be the passing game. It'll be probably Diggs, Dell, and Nico Collins. So find a way to stop those guys. I saw Mina Kimes and Benjamin Solak, I believe, is the two of them talking about how this game should run. And the suggestion was that what the Bills' game plan should be is, of course, invite the run and invite throws to Diggs. That's probably what the Bills will do. If you have Diggs in this matchup, maybe he's matched up with Taron Johnson if he's able to play. But if you have Diggs in fantasy in this matchup, he'll probably get his because they're going to focus on not getting beat over the top by freak show Nico Collins and burner Tank Dell.
Right.
So it very well might be that Diggs gets like 9 catches.
Give them the underneath stuff?
Give them Diggs.
Yeah.
Saying that's their way to get 12 play drives. And if that's how it happens, so be it. If we're going to get beat, let's get beat by Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
Even though that's the last thing you want to get beat by.
Right. They have a great track record of not letting guys like Nico Collins go off against them.
Yes, they do.
They're the best team in the league at, hey, you got a superstar number one receiver on the other side, which, by the way, you should be calling Nico Collins a superstar at this point.
That's right. The last time it happened would have been Jefferson, right? Jefferson went off on them on a couple of highlight plays.
Yeah.
But
Even those. Those are just freak show, all-time great play. Like, he's not open.
Yeah.
He's just making insane plays.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Happy Sabres season. Sabres and Devils. Do we have a...
In Prague.
We have a Sammy Squares pool going?
We don't have a Sammy Squares pool going.
We could do a Sammy Squares. No?
I mean, throw some Sammy Squares together,
Start it by next week, Friday. We could... Last year we did Sammy Squares.
North America version.
That's right. The North American Sammy Squares. It doesn't happen in Czechia. So that's when will Matthias Samuelsson score a goal for the Sabres? We got 82 squares.
Do you remember what happened last year in this?
He scored in like the third game.
So it was so quick that we restarted it.
Yes.
And then he didn't score the rest of the year.
And we donated the money, which was great.
And we donated all the money. Yep. And he played 41 games. He, by the way, interesting little bit that he is under contract for 7 more seasons. He's wearing an A, and he's on the third pair. Like, what's he going to play, 16 minutes a night now? Like, he's not in the top four, right? At least right now. Lindy Ruff, he used to juggle lines like crazy, so maybe by the second period, he'll be up with Dahlin. But for the start, he's on the third pair.
Isn't the bigger question with Samuelsson not where he plays or how many minutes he plays, but how many games will he play?
Maybe that's why they want to play him less minutes.
He gets hurt all the time. So try to have a healthy season for him. Football Friday, Sal, when we return, the latest on Deion Dawkins, Khalil Shakir, Terrell Bernard, Taron Johnson. It is Football Friday. Football Friday is brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza. Start your game day the Crosby's way.